We get things rolling by getting on board the G&M Family Market phone line and welcoming to the program a guest who blew up the music world in the early 1980s, became an international star with the supergroup Men at Work, several number ones in countries all over the world. Since then, he has gone on to a lengthy solo career with over a dozen solo albums. He has worked as an actor as well, and we're delighted to have him on our program. We welcome Colin Hay to the show. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And by the way, a happy belated birthday. We missed it by a day.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You just let them kind of slip by now, you know?
I know that feeling. Absolutely. I've got one coming up on Monday. I know exactly what you're saying. The new album is called Fierce Mercy, and it's just wonderful work. I think, actually, it's some of your best work.
Well, you know, you would hope that it does get better as you do them. You would hope that it doesn't go the other way. But that's why you keep making them. You know, you make a record, and then you think, well, that's the best thing I've done until the next one. But this one, I think, is certainly like a few things lined up right. The planets were in alignment or something. But I really like this record. I'm very, very proud of it.
The new single, I caught the video for that, Secret Love, is terrific as well.
Yeah, and my wife put that together, which was very nice. But that was actually my birthday present from her. She produced and directed the video for me. I was in Australia at the time, so I came back and she finished it, and I think she did a fabulous job.
Now, of course, you were with a major label for a long time. These days, you've got your own label, and the music landscape has changed so much through the years. Obviously, as an artist now, you have to do a lot more in terms of promoting yourself. But is there a freedom that comes with not having to conform to the needs and the expectations of a label?
Well, I never really felt that when I was with major labels. I mean, maybe I wasn't with major labels for long enough to really feel that pressure. But the labels that I was with, which was just really two big ones, Sony Music and MCA Records, they pretty much left me alone to do whatever I liked, and it ended up, of course, I got dropped by MCA Records in, I think, 1990 or something. So I've been on my own for a long, long time now. But I'm signed to an independent label out of Nashville, but they leave me alone to make whatever records I want to make. But they, if I want to get their advice or get their feedback or use them as a sounding board, they're more than happy to do that. But yeah, I feel a complete freedom to really create whatever I like these days. But then again, I always have.
Colin, this is Carrie Haskell here. You've been performing for nearly 40 years now, 30 of those as a solo, and 2017 really seems to be turning into a banner year with the new album. You had a documentary, Waiting for My Real Life, came out in January. You've even got an audio book that you narrated that was just released here in June. Does it feel like maybe you've hit some sort of a critical mass in terms of the public recognition of you as a solo performer?
Well, I think it's, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that, really. I felt like to some degree, I still fly somewhat below the radar, you know, in terms of mainstream awareness from people. I think that, you know, there's people out there who have, you know, huge name recognition. I'm fortunate. I've built this following that I have in a very organic way in the last 25 years. So whoever's coming along to see my shows and whoever's buying my records and indeed whoever is paying attention to anything that I'm doing is genuinely interested in what I'm putting together. So it's not like there's any huge machine out there trying to convince people to do that. So it feels very connected in many ways. So I'm very happy. I have very, very interesting and attentive and loyal fans. But the short answer to your question, which is too late for that now. it does seem that there's a few things out there at the moment that people can grab onto if they like, with the documentary and so forth.
Part of that, building that recognition, has been your touring. You mentioned that you just wrapped up an Australian tour. Your July calendar is pretty well packed with California shows. Then you hit the road for the rest of the U.S. in August into November. How much time do you spend touring in the course of a year?
Well, you go in cycles, really. It tends to be cycles where you, you know, you make a record, which takes a few months, usually, you know, from start to finish is usually a few months. And then you go out on the road and tour it. So the whole process is usually like a 2 or 3 year period. And when you make a record, it tends to be pretty intense, an intensive period of touring. So I think probably I'll be out on the road, most of this year, and maybe quite a bit of next year as well. But I suppose on the average, I'm out on the road maybe half the time, 6 or 7 months of the year.
You got closely involved with Zach Braff, and not only his films, but of course his TV show Scrubs. As a fan of yours, did he reach out to you to try to get you involved?
Well, he was very nice to me, and so was Bill Lawrence, who created Scrubs. I've knew Zach before he was in that show. I mean, I didn't know him particularly well, and I still don't really know him particularly well either. But we had a couple of mutual friends, and he used to come and see me play in Hollywood in this club that I play at, and he had my CDs. So he took them into to Bill Lawrence, who created the show Scrubs, and they. And Bill Lawrence liked the songs, and so he started to feature quite a few of them on his television show, which was, you know, quite a brilliant thing to do for me, because of course it was huge profile being on the television, and changed the dynamics of my audience quite a lot by dropping the demographic by about 30 years.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was a huge fan of your stuff back in the early 80s. And then Scrubs is sort of what led me to rediscover your solo album, seeing you pop up on that show. And just fell in love with the albums, especially Are You Looking at Me? Album was just an amazing album. And had a chance
I
to see
that,
Yeah, had a chance to see you down at the Strand, which you're going to be playing back at in mid-August. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, and just a great show. Now, part of your live shows too is the storytelling, and that's a big part of your lyrics. I mean, do you consider yourself as much a storyteller as a musician at this point in your career?
Well, not really. Other people say that, but I'm conscious of just trying to write better songs. Really, and sometimes what happens is you. Whenever I finish a record, I always think that I'm not going to make any more music or records, because you feel quite empty of ideas. And then as time goes, you know, a certain amount of time goes by, and these ideas just pop into your head, and so you just follow them. And sometimes they have to do with your life and what's happened to you, and sometimes they're stories that present themselves to you, so you follow them, and your own life is somewhat limited by your own experience, but of course your imagination is limitless, and so you can tell stories which is really I guess where that idea comes from, that the songs, you follow them, and you let them have their own life in a way, you know, and so in that sense, I think you can sense that some of the ideas, have a life of their own, and they can breathe of their own accord, you know.
We're talking with Colin Hay. He'll be at the Strand in Rockland on August 17th. His new CD is entitled Fierce Mercy. We've been talking a lot about the Beatles with the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper. As a young guy growing up in Scotland when the Beatles broke, how caught up were you in what they were doing, and how much of an influence were they on you musically?
Well, I'm still really caught up with the Beatles, really. You know, I mean, it's for me, there was the Beatles, and then there was everybody else. Because I grew up in a music shop from the years 1958 until 1967. My mother and father had a music shop in Scotland. before I went to Australia. So, you know, when the Beatles first hit, my father was the first one to play me the Beatles in the shop when it was closed at night. He said, have a listen to these guys. He said, I think they'll do well. And and didn't they? But that's an extraordinary thing, isn't it? When you listen to the Beatles and you listen to any record you like, whether it's Please Please Me or, you know, with the Beatles or right through to the stuff they were doing towards the end of their career, there it's just such a beautiful arc of creative development, isn't it? And you can still get this incredible amount of energy by listening to a song like Please Please Me, because when you hear that music, you know, it seems that there's something else in there apart from the four of them. There was just the four of them playing, but it just seems like there's this magic stick in there as well or something. You know, it's extraordinary. So, yeah, I'm a complete lover of the Beatles.
Yeah, greater than the sum of their parts is a sort of a good way of summing up the Beatles, I think. Being such a fan of the Beatles when you were a kid, what was it like to get the chance to join in with Ringo's all-star band for a couple of tours, right? You did with them?
Yeah, I did a couple of tours and did a television thing with a couple of television special with Ringo and a song last year as well that he did for charity, which was a nice thing. Oh, look, fantastic. There's no downside to playing in Ringo's band. It's a beautiful experience. You play with all different musicians and play lots of different songs, and you get to hang out with Ringo. So there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah, he performed up here in Bangor last summer, and it was a great show. It seems like a very loose environment for all the musicians to do a little bit of their own stuff, some of his stuff, and really a collaborative concert.
Exactly. It's like you know, playing in a great covers band.
So how rewarding is it for you, having done this as long as you have, how rewarding is it now to have that solid core of fans who follow you, you know, not riding the charts like you were back with Men at Work, and yet you got people who are loyal, who can't wait for new albums and new concert appearances. There has to be a great feeling into that, and especially doing it as a solo artist this long.
That's right. That's completely correct. All those things you said are correct. It is rewarding. It's nourishing. It's fulfilling. Because of the fact that it's just really, you know, I've built it together with the audiences and fans that have come to see me, you know, really one audience at a time, one night at a time, one tour at a time, and that when you do that, people tend not to desert you, and you you feel that circle of energy, if you like, that connection with people, and you keep making great music, and indeed the fact that you know that people are interested gives you that impetus and gives you that encouragement and affirmation, if you like, to keep moving forward. You know, it's great. It's a great thing.
Well, we appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Love the new CD, and we look forward to seeing you at the Strand in Rockland on August 17th.
All right, lads. Thank you very much. Very nice talking to you.
It's Colin Hay joining us here on Downtown.